You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
All right, so we're finally here. It's only taken us 3 months to get here. We've been working our way through the Lord's Prayer. We started in October with our. 3 months later, we get to Amen. So today, we're going to get there. We're going to finish up our series that we started. Hey, Daniel, can you flip over that computer? Thank you. But as we do, okay, maybe, I'm just going to think about it. Let's begin together by praying together the prayer that the Lord has taught us that we've been studying, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So in our culture, in our language, there are formulas that we use in our speech, things that we expect. You know, we say one thing and we expect this response. So let's see if you can help me out with these. I got a couple up here this morning. Formulas in our speech. When you see someone, you say hi. When you leave them, you say, or if you're from Ecclesia, you say, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it, right? Okay, just here, though. All right, what about this one? You start a letter with dear, finish a letter with sincerely, right? That's the expected tradition. What about this one? Got a fairy tale, starts out once upon a time, ends with and they lived happily ever after, right? Very good. See, you guys are good at this. This is typically how we view the word amen in our prayers, right? It's like we get to the end of our prayer and it's like saying, okay, God, I'm finished. I'm done. Amen. Or it's like we're saying, you know, all right, everybody, you can open your eyes now. I'm done. Or if you're in a prayer group, when you say amen, it's telling the next person, okay, it's your turn, go. Right? That's how we typically view amen. Or sometimes we use amen in the context of a worship service, right? The preacher's doing good. He's tracking along real well. He says something that kind of strikes you, and you're like, amen. Or, you know, in some churches, you're a little louder than that. In some churches, you're like, amen. Anybody hear that? Right, you get a little worried. We're saying, look, I agree. I agree with what you just said, preacher. You're right there. You're, yes, sir, I'm with you. I got you. And every once in a while, preacher realizes, you know, we need a little help. So we'll say something like, can I get an amen on that? Right? Just helping you out, letting you know that this is a good point. But what does amen mean, biblically speaking? What does it mean? Now, we've talked about it before, that there are some words that just do not translate well between languages, right? Anybody who's studied more than one language, you know that there's some words in certain languages that just, you can, yeah, they kind of mean that, but it's not exactly right. And sometimes you have to choose. You have to say, okay, well, am I either going to go with that lesser translation? Am I going to, that doesn't quite get it, it might be close. Or sometimes you just adopt that new word. You know, some languages you hear something and it's like, this doesn't translate. So we just adopt this new word and use it in our language. Now, in the church, we've done that. We've done it already this morning a couple times. Somebody's saying, hallelujah. It's not an English word. It's a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word that means praise Yahweh or praise the Lord. And it means it's this deep theological meaning, this deep expression of praise it just doesn't exactly mean that. So we just adopted it and said, no, we're going to just use that. What about the word we use on Palm Sunday, Hosanna? It means save us, save us. And we've just adopted that into our vocabulary. The word Shalom, right, means peace. I heard somebody say peace. But it means more than peace. Shalom is more than just peace. It means this deep, correct ordering of the world. That God has created the world in a certain way, to be ordered in a certain way, to bring God glory, to function the way God intentioned it. And when shalom is present, everything is ordered correctly. It's more than just peace. So we adopt that into our language. And then there's amen. Amen. The Hebrew root for the word amen, it means something along the lines of to support or to be faithful, to be sure, to be established, to be firm, to believe, or we might translate it as truly, like Jesus would say, truly I say to you, or he would say verily in some word, in some translations if you got the old King James. Or truly or surely or so be it. Or we might say, in kind of modern language, I totally agree with this. Yes, this is true. May it most certainly be as you say. That's what we're saying when we say amen. Now, last week, we were not here. Obviously, we were on vacation. We were visiting Michelle's family. And while we were there, we got to talking about her family and just what they enjoyed growing up. And she grew up in what I would call a science fiction family. And I don't mean that her parents are aliens. They're very nice people. But they love science fiction. They love science fiction. Her dad especially. He loves science fiction. And they, that's what they would watch the whole time they were there. But there was one show in particular that Michelle and I, we talked about, and then they talked about, that was the kind of the anchor show, the one that was the central one. It was Star Trek, The Next Generation. Right? Anybody else remember that one? I grew up on that one. That's the one that I was, you know. And Michelle, I kind of asked permission to tell this story, but I'm just going to do it and maybe ask forgiveness later. But she had a little crush, I think, on Captain Picard. She had, you know, Captain Picard. Yeah, didn't everyone, right? Right. And I came to find out later that she had told her parents, when I have a child, I'm going to name him Jean-Luc. Jean-Luc. So can you guys imagine Jeremiah, who was up here, you know, as Jean-Luc? But I bring all this up because Captain Picard, he said a lot of amens. Now, we might not recognize it as amen, but that's what he was saying. You don't believe me? Watch this. Oh, not that one. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. Sorry. In case you wanted to know that. I already said all that. But watch this. Here we go.
Make it so. 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 Make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so. Make it so.
All right. A little montage there. I don't know who that woman was, like at the 10-second mark. If you caught that, I was like, who was that? But anyway, make it so. That's what it means. When we're saying amen, we're saying make it so. Make it a reality. We're essentially saying, okay, now is the time that we move from words to actions. Now is the time. It's no longer about ideas. It's about reality. For many of us, there's this movement that we've noticed as we've begun to study the Lord's Prayer deeply over the last few months, because we've begun to realize that we memorized this as a little kid. We had it all up here. We know the Lord's Prayer by memory, right? And then I think what's happened is that as we've studied over the past weeks, and I know it's happened for me, that I've begun to not just pray memorized words, but I've started to pray a little more with my heart, you know, realizing that this is a deep, there's some real theological depth to what Jesus is saying. But today, the amen challenges us to pray with our feet. And our lives, because the amen says, I just can't say all the right words at the right times anymore, because I really mean what I'm saying. Make it so. Make this prayer, this theologically rich prayer that we've been studying, a reality. So let's just take a moment and look back where we've come in 12 weeks. What have we said over the last 12 weeks? We said that the prayer starts with our, right? That we are praying as a family. That when we come to this prayer together, that we're coming as a family in true community to voice our prayer to God. That we recognize that we are supporting one another. That we are lifting one another up. That we are praying for one another when each other's struggling. That we're rejoicing with one another when the others rejoice. So we come together, our, and we say, our Father, that we're recognizing that God is more than just Almighty God out there, but he's our Father, and he's inviting us together to intimacy. And we recognize in praying our Father that we have an identity. We are children of God. And we say our Father in heaven, or in the heavens, as we translated it that week we talked about it. We're saying that God will not fit into our box. God will not fit into the little compartmentalized boxes that we want to keep God in. That God is bigger than that. That God is the Lord and Father of all the earth and all of creation. That when we pray our Father in the heavens, that we're saying we have to tear down those walls that separate us from one another, because it's the same God and the same Father, and we are all united. The God over all the heavens, over all the universe. We said, we're praying, hallowed be your name. That if we carry the name of Christian as followers of Christ, therefore every word, every action, every thought, everything that we do, our whole life either recognizes God's holiness, his hallowedness, or it takes the name of the Lord in vain. Everything, the way that we live, we hallow God's name by the way that we honor it. We pray, your kingdom come. We're praying, God, you are the one true king. In this world, there are so many other kings that we seek after, and honestly, we sometimes worship. The king of success, the king of money, the king of power, the king of fame, the king of recognition. And in praying this, Jesus says, no. I have come and I have brought a new kingdom, and there is one king on this throne. But it's a kingdom where the sick are healed, a kingdom where the hungry are fed, a kingdom where the naked are clothed, a kingdom where the prisoners are set free and the oppressed are released. And when we pray, your kingdom come, that's the kingdom we're talking about. We pray, your will be done. We're saying that we have to begin to exchange our will for God's will. We have to exchange our desire for clarity about the future for our complete trust in the God who holds the future. We have to exchange our fantasies about the way that life should be for the reality of what God has given us. We have to exchange all of our plans for the future, our regrets of the past, and receive God's gift of the present. We have to exchange our control for God's control. We said when we pray, give us this daily bread, that we're learning to ask for more than just our wants, to get down to our needs. What do we really need, God, in giving, praying for bread? And we realize that when we pray for bread, that we're praying simultaneously, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given me. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your blessings. And we're also praying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry because there are people in the world that are suffering. There are people in the world that hunger. There are people in the world that don't have what they need. And I'm partly responsible for that. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry. When we pray, forgive us our trespasses, we're saying, God, forgive us for those times that we've missed the mark. Those times that we haven't lived up to expectations. For the hurt that we've caused others, even the hurt we've caused God. Forgive us for those times that we've violated your boundaries, God. Forgive us for the debt that we owe because of our sinfulness. And at the same time, as we ask for your forgiveness, God, help us to reach out this way in forgiveness as well, as we forgive those who don't live up to our expectations, as we release them, as we forgive those that have hurt us, as we forgive those who have trespassed over our boundaries, as we let go of those grudges and the debts that we hold others in. We're praying, forgive us our trespasses. We say, lead us not into temptation. We learn to recognize that there is a life cycle of sin. That's what we talked about. There is a life cycle of sin that begins with just a thought, begins with just a temptation that we hold on to for a minute too long. And we allow it to be a seed that gets planted into our heart, and then it grows. And that seed, once it's grown and it gives birth to sin. It's a sin every time it leads to death. So we've learned as we pray, lead us not into temptation, that we have to call temptation by its name. And we talked about some of those names that the desert mothers and fathers have taught us about temptation. and that we surrender to God, surrendering it all to God, the temptation every time, which releases sin's power over us. Learn to pray, deliver us from evil, that we realize that there are multiple levels of evil, that sure, there is this cosmic evil, there is spiritual warfare, that's a reality, but there's structural evil in our world, right? The isms that we talked about, racism and sexism and classism, that all of those are manifestations of evil. And then a little closer, it gets down to individual evils, those things that people, individuals perpetrate against one another. But then when it gets down to the very heart of it, we had to recognize that when we pray, God, deliver us from evil, we're saying, God, there is evil within my heart. That there's no sin that anybody else has committed that I'm not capable of. And so to begin is to say, God, forgive me of the evil in my heart. And to pray, yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever, because it's not about me. With John the Baptist, we pray, I must decrease, you must increase. My priorities, they're not, all the priorities that I normally have put up in my life, they don't even compare. That I need just one priority, one pure and holy passion, and that is to seek after God with everything that we are, to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. And then to say, after all of that, amen. Make it so, Lord. Let this be a reality in my life. I choose today to live this out. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. To honestly say amen is to say, God, now that I have learned to pray this prayer, help me to live this prayer. Because if prayer doesn't change the way you live, why bother? Why bother? If prayer doesn't radically alter and reorient your life to the God to whom we're praying, what's the point? If prayer doesn't challenge us to become more like Jesus, why are we wasting our breath? If prayer doesn't help the kingdom of God to break out in our life and in our community and in our world, we've missed the point. Can I get an amen on that? There's one final thing, though, about this amen at the end of the Lord's Prayer. In the book of Revelation, we read, the angel of the church of Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Because this saying, this Amen, is more than just saying, God, make it be. God, let it be so. God, make it a reality. As John and Patmos realized, as it was revealed to him, the Amen is a person. If you got a red letter Bible, this is in red letters. The words of the Amen, the words of the Christ, the words of Jesus, the Lamb, the faithful and true witness, he is the Amen. Or as the Apostle Paul put it, he says, for all of the promises of God find their yes in him. That's Jesus. That is why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory. And did you catch that? All of the promises of God that God has given from the very beginning of Scripture all the way up to now find their yes in Jesus. Didn't we say a few minutes ago, amen means yes. And Jesus is God's amen to all of the promises that he has made us, to all of the promises of all of humanity. But hold on, it gets better. Let me flip here, there's too much to write on the screen, so let me read this. From the book of Revelation. Talks about the scroll, talks about the Lamb in chapter 5, and says they were looking for someone who was able to open up the scroll, who was worthy. Starting in verse 8, it says, When he, the Lamb, had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Do you hear that? Boom, right? It's like they said, "Amen," and worship breaks out in heaven. That's what we're saying here. This is not just a little pious, sit quietly in your seat on morning kind of Sunday worship, right? This is not what it's talking about. This is the fall on your face because I am not worthy before the Lamb kind of worship. That this kind of worship breaks out when the spoken amen. That Jesus Christ, the very person, is God's amen. He is God's yes to the world, because in Jesus, God is saying to you and to me today, "Yes, you are my child. Yes, I love you with an everlasting love. Yes, you are the masterpiece of my creation. Yes, I have a plan to use you. Yes, you are forgiven. Yes, I desire to bless you. Yes, you have value. Yes, you are my partner in sharing this message. Yes, yes, yes," in Jesus. Can you hear it? Because we live in a world that tells us no. We live in a world that says, "You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not smart enough. You're not strong enough. You're not wealthy enough. You're not powerful enough. You're not successful enough. You're not educated enough. You're not qualified enough." No. And Jesus says, "Yes. Yes. Yes," in Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. He says, "I stand here at the door and knock." Just open it. Just open it. Because God speaks his eternal yes to us in Jesus Christ. And we have the chance to respond to God's yes with a yes of our own. With a resounding amen. Amen. Make it so, Lord. Yes. This is the challenge that I want to make to Ecclesia at the beginning of a new year. Let's make 2013 the year of the amen for our congregation. The year of the amen, that corporately together, right here, right now, that we are going to make a decision that we want to say, "God, we want to come to you and honestly say, Lord, teach us to pray. Not just with our mouth. Teach us to pray with our whole lives. Teach me to live out this prayer that Jesus has taught us." And all God's people said, "Amen." Let's pray. Father, our desire is that this year be a year of yes. That we hear your yes spoken over us, Lord. That we hear and feel and experience the yes that you have given us in Jesus Christ. That we might feel your blessing. That we might feel your call. That we might hear your heart and your desire that is broken for a world that is in pain and lost. That needs us to go out and to be witnesses to your yes in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would help us to make this year a year that we respond to you with an amen. Not just to say that we're finished praying, Lord, but to say that the prayer just got started. Help us to live it out. Lord, we pray that as we learn the way Jesus taught us to pray, that it will transform our lives, that it will transform us into the image of Jesus Christ whom we worship. We lift him up. We exalt him. Wherever you call, this year, Lord, our answer is yes. Yes. We want to follow you and love you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. We want to love our neighbor as ourselves. Lord, we place our whole lives, all of our resources on the altar and say, yes, Lord, whatever you want to do with them, take them and use them. Amen and amen.